It was my great privilege to be able to go and visit the Dominican Republic and to minister at the church in Santo Domingo, IBSJ. And my desire is to share with you some of those experiences. Hopefully this can lock even more dearly their affections and their personalities in our minds so that we can pray for them. I hope it also broadens us out and gives us an understanding of what's going on in the kingdom in different places. It's possible for us to become very ingrown and for us to become very narrow. And one of the blessings that I have is to be able to go off to other churches and see what the Lord is doing in the kingdom, in sister churches of ours, and even other congregations. In fact, I was able to be over with Matt and Heidi Smith over at Kemp Road, and just to be able to see Pastor Woodman and meet their elders and their deacons and see their worship together and experience fellowship with them is a very encouraging thing and enables me to be able to see how God is working and even to meditate on the application of the Scriptures when it comes to personal life, family life, and congregational life. So I get to see these big pictures of things, and my hope is that your eyes would be able to grab on and get a perspective like I've been able to do in this particular journey. Kevin also was able to travel to the Dominican Republic with Anna and with Marcy. And even this morning I thought, boy, we could have had their pictures combined in here as well. Marcy's given us the look like she doesn't think she has exciting pictures. I don't know if mine are exciting either. But please feel free to bring any more information or anecdotes or comments in, as well as Larry and Jacqueline. As I speak about the Dominican, there'll be faces that are familiar to you, and you may even know names that I don't know. Please feel free to comment, raise your hand, bring in any extra information that might be helpful. Before I departed for the Dominican, I asked a number of you if you would please pray. I know I probably sounded like a helpless, frail little rabbit, and I didn't have the lion-hearted attitude of invincibility, because when I travel overseas, I feel very frail. And I realize that there are all kinds of sicknesses and bacteria. In fact, even before I left, Julian wrote down on a piece of paper to me the word amoeba. And he said, this is what you need to beware of, because this is a serious sickness that is common in the Dominican. He said, the first thing you do when you arrive, you should go right to a pharmacy and pick up a drug in case you begin to feel queasy, so that the amoeba doesn't affect you. And I think of traveling all that distance and money for airfare and things like that, and then arriving and being ill and not being able to minister. And I think of what a shame and what a waste. So I think of that text, ask and it shall be given to you, Matthew 7:7. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what is there among you? When your son shall ask for a loaf, shall you give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? And so I ask that you would pray and ask that God would give help. And in a stunning way, I really believe God answered those prayers. And I've said in the past, as I've traveled, I felt like I was carried along on the crest of a prayer wave. And strikingly so, this was the case here, as the Lord, I think, moved in mighty ways to do good for His kingdom and care for the church there and care for me who was called to minister to them. So let me just begin by giving a bit of a description of this journey that I took to the Dominican. It was on Monday of the previous week. I was to depart on a plane flight on Friday at about 10 a.m. and head off to the Dominican and arrive at about 9:30 at night in Santo Domingo, and then go over to Salvador Gomez's house on Friday night, wake up on Saturday morning for the men's conference. But I'd heard that Monday about a tropical storm named Isaac that was stirring up in the Atlantic and was moving into the Caribbean. And I took a little note of it, but didn't really think much of it. You hear about these going on so often. I kept an ear to the ground, but it was for us to travel off to Grove City, where we were going to drop Nathan off. Nathan had to be first in between Monday and heading off for the Dominican. I had to go to Pennsylvania with Diane and with Abby as we were going to drop Nathan off at Grove City College there. And we were able to make that drive and arrive on campus there. And this is Nathan's RA. He's a fine young man. When I asked if we could pray and ask a blessing on the room and on the wing there in Hicks Hall, he was amening, and he was so thrilled that I was willing to pray. He's studying to be a pastor himself, and pray for Nate as he's off there at Grove City College. And we were able to be there and spend a little bit of time together with Nate. And it was during this time, while I was at Grove City, we had dropped Nate off, and we were off at Walmart on Wednesday night, that I got a text message from Jaime Mejia, and the text message said, DR is expecting a hurricane Saturday, so I would suggest you get information from IBSJ about this. And Diane was looking for a rug for Nathan's dormitory room, so I went off and sat on a table at Walmart, and I texted Salvador. I said, Salvador, hope we're still moving forward in spite of the weather threat. And he texted back to me, our only concern is that the flight may be canceled. If it is possible, could you make changes and come before? Try it. We will pay the difference. So I thought, oh, I'm in Pennsylvania, and we've got to drop off Nathan the next day, and I can't really get there much earlier. But I immediately called American Airlines, and I was able to make a change there while at Walmart to move the flight ahead to a 6 a.m. Friday departure out. And I thought maybe this would help me to slip in early on time before things shut down there if there was a problem. I wrote back to Salvador saying, new flight schedule, I'll arrive American from Miami at 3 p.m. on Friday. Hope this helps. That is as early as I can get in since I'm now in Pennsylvania and won't get home until Thursday evening. And Salvador texted back, well, okay, we are in God's hands. Let's see how things are tomorrow. We will inform you of any decision regarding the conference. So I thought, oh, they're contemplating shutting down the conference and the weekend. And then Thursday, we went and settled Nate in again at the college. And do you have anything else here regarding the... college. Oh, yes, a beautiful picnic there at the college. This quad area reminded me of Chariots of Fire when Abrams ran the square before the clock struck, much like that same feel of the campus there. Please pray for Nate that God would bless him and that he would be a wise man and it would be God glorifying. In fact, he has a roommate. A roommate's name is Bobby. And Bobby is a middle linebacker for the football team. And I wasn't able to meet Bobby while I was at the dorm. I kept looking around. Where's Bobby? Where's Bobby? No Bobby. And just as we were leaving, they said, Bobby's practicing on the football field. So I drove the van up to the football field, and I walked out on the field amongst these big fellows. Abby said I looked quite small. And I said, where's Bobby Tuttle? Where's Bobby Tuttle? And they said, Tuttle, where's Tuttle? And went over there, and there was Bobby, face mask, everything on. And I grabbed his shoulder pads and his face mask, and I said, "My name is Mr. Tansky. I'm Nathan's dad. And I'm hoping that you will be the best roommate that any Grove City student has this year, because I'm counting on you." And he reminded me of kind of like a Rudy Rudinger figure. He looked at me, or like a Samwise Gamgee, looked at me and says, "Sir, I'll take care of him." And that gave me great comfort as we drove out of Grove City. So we were heading out of Grove City, and we got home there on Thursday night quite late, and I was able to pack. And then about 4 o'clock, got up in the morning, and we went off to the airport, arrived at the airport in Grand Rapids. Just a taste for God's kindness. I went through the security, and I then went into the area right by the gate. I saw O'Hare Airport, 6 a.m., and I went and used the lavatory. I'm standing in the lavatory here. "Mark Chansky, please return to security." Of course, I hit my pockets now, and my wallet wasn't there. And the security guard says, "One of your fellow passengers found your wallet, because you put it in the Tupperware and you forget to pull it out." So that was just a kiss on the cheek of kindness. Then I was sitting waiting for the 6 a.m. flight to O'Hare, and a lady comes to me and said, "What seat do you have?" No one ever does this to me. "What seat do you have?" And I said, I showed her my ticket. She says, "Oh, you're flying American. I'm sitting in front of you. I'm sitting in front of a United gate, which was 6 a.m. to O'Hare. And mine was an American flight down the terminal, 6 a.m. to O'Hare." And how, again, the Lord, no one ever comes and asks me what seat I have. I would have missed the flight if the other one had gone. And again, a sense of God's help along the way. So I was able to get on the flight and flew to Chicago O'Hare, and then I was able to fly from Chicago O'Hare down to Miami. And it was when I got there that I wrote to him. And by the way, on Thursday I had texted back to Salvador, "Hi Salvador, how are things today?" This is on Thursday. He says, "Not much rain yet." Then he said, "Closest point to the DR will be around 2 a.m. Still a go for now. We should have more rain tonight than tomorrow." I wrote back, "Great, I'll plan on arriving at 3 p.m. tomorrow, God willing." He wrote back, "We continue to pray for it. If there's a change, I'll be in touch with you." Then he texted back, "Authorities announced that all airports will be closed from midnight until 6 a.m. this Friday. Trust your flight will not be affected." So I was getting on the plane in Grand Rapids while the Dominican Republic was all shut down. They weren't allowing flights in, so I didn't know if I'd get to Miami and have no way to hop off to Dominican Republic. And finally, I arrived in Miami, and I said, "Hi, Salvador, I'm in Miami now. How are things in the DR?" He said, "It's fine. I even jogged a little this morning. They say it will rain this afternoon. The Lord pushed the storm to the south a bit so as to pass by farther away." So if you'd look at the map, the storm was coming right toward the DR. It was going to smash, really, epicenter at Santo Domingo, but it did veer to the south. Now, I realize that our little conference isn't all that big an issue when you think of the great global movings of things, but we prayed. And the Lord, in His kindness, pushed this to the south, opening a way for us to be able to make that trip and fly in. On my trip from Miami into Santo Domingo, I felt like I was in a barrio, a Dominican neighborhood. People, they're so friendly. Isn't that true? Larry, you find that to be true? He's Dominican. Kevin, you find that to be true? They are so friendly. And whereas on the other flight, from Chicago to Miami, people are reading newspapers and not much interaction. But there, discussion. One man was telling me about his experience, having lived for 3 years in Kentucky, and the lady next to me was going to the Dominican and able to tell me about her spiritual life and about her experiences as someone who was from Nicaragua, and talking to me about the Latino nations and the way that they are a patchwork quilt. So I had great insight into the culture there. Arriving at Miami here, you see this picture. I was able to get through customs, and I was picked up when I went through customs by a man named Tomas. He had a card that said Mark Chansky on it. And as I came to him to shake hands, he couldn't speak any English at all. But we were able to do hand signals and communicating back. And our dear sister Jackie had given me a little prompt card where I have my little sayings here, where I can say, Hola, ¿cómo estás? ¿Cómo te sientes? Estoy bien. Gracias, muchas gracias. So I tried to use that the best I could in interacting back and forth with Tomas. But as we were driving from the airport to Salvador Gomez's house, we had to take the coastal highway. And Isaac and the aftermath of Isaac was out there on the coast. On that coastal highway, you're really only about, in some places, 30 or 40 yards from the ocean. And that ocean was riled up. And it was just absolutely wild. We passed by the coastal highway a few days later, and it was this soft, beautiful aquamarine color. But it was this fierce, foaming gray at this time, and the waves were smashing up against the edges of the shore. And what Thomas would do is he was very excited about this. And he would roll down the window, and there would be rain coming down, and the waves would smash up against the shore and splash over all four lanes of the highway so that I could lick my arm and I had salt on my arm. And he was just shouting, "Wee! Wee!" As the Latins are not reserved like the Dutch. They're very expressive. And we bonded. We couldn't communicate much by way of language. We had a real male bonding experience here. As the rains were pouring down, and there would be in the highway deep pools as water would flood over. It was there's Thomas' profile there, and you get a picture of the sea is just right there. And there is our trip. There's Thomas, delightful man, works as a diaconal assistant there in the church. So I was able to, again, see the culture here. There is a vast gap. There are some in the Dominican who are very, very wealthy, and there are some in the Dominican, a vast majority, who are very, very poor, and there really isn't all that much of a middle class. And to be able to ride through some of the areas and see some of the shanty towns and shacks that people live in is a very sobering thing. Here, you're riding through a pond when the roads would actually become a river. Again, this is the aftermath of Isaac having gone through. I arrived at the home of Salvador Gomez, and this little fella here named Gabby Gomez, who's 3 years old, he is a surprise. The Gomez family has a 17-year-old girl named Monica and a 15-year-old boy named Javier and a 12-year-old daughter named Veronica, and then Gabby, who's 3. He was surprised, they said, but what a delightful surprise he has been for them. And we were able to spend the evening there, but that night, as we were present, you see, this is the light here is because of a camera flash. It was totally dark, power outage at the home, at the Gomez home. And I was able to study my notes by the light from my computer here as I prepared to try to get into my head those 3 messages for the next day. And in the morning, it was quite a harrowing night. The rain came down and there was no air conditioning and it was just torrid and hot, and I had the window open and rain kept blowing in. But it was a relatively good sleep nevertheless. In the morning, things had quieted down a bit, though there was incessant rain throughout the day. This is a home that Salvador Gomez just recently moved into. The last time I was there, he was at an apartment, and the situation in the apartment was not all that desirable, but the church rallied together, and many individuals gave him assistance to be able to build this home. Here's his son, Javier, and there's Salvador Gomez. Remember Salvador, who married Larry and Jacqueline? He was here, and delightful man, true man of God, minister. Pray for Salvador that the Lord would richly bless him. We were able to come there to the men's conference, and just to be able to see the men, I called their singing Dominican Thunder. They sang with great zest and great enthusiasm. This is Suhel Micheline, who is leading. They had a number of different instruments that they had playing here. Here's a man with a violin, and here's a man with a guitar. Here's a man who had some kind of percussion. And then this gentleman here, I think it was a trumpet as well that was behind him. And they sang just delightful songs, and their singing was very intense, and their singing was very enthusiastic. It was interesting. As I say, I even saw men would raise their hands, and you wonder, is that a biblical thing? Is that an inappropriate thing? Is that a... fact of the matter is, when I was off at Kemp Road Baptist Church, Matt and Heidi will tell you, you see Steve Woodman would be raising his hands. And the text that would be used would be of 1 Timothy 2. I would that men would lift up holy hands in prayer. And the point is, you know, we can ask the question, boy, is that, I don't know if that is. But I think that the point is that there is liberty. And frankly, I've been at pastors' conferences in New Jersey and seen men lift hands. And I just sort of let you view through my eyes the things that we may see in different places. And gives a little bit of perspective. There were 300-plus men there at this conference. And that's about what they had thought before the storm even came. That's what they had hoped for. And that's what they got. And it was a delightful time that we were able to have together, as there are myself, Salvador, and other men who were present there at the conference. Here is Lester Flacher. Lester was here, about 9 years ago when we had our Dominican weekend of ministry. Lester is a blessed translator. I had sent my notes ahead. Lester was a man who said he doesn't need notes. He just likes to go by the seat of his pants. And when he hears what I'm saying, he declares it. And he does a very good job in translating their sense of trying to be enthusiastic and communicating things. And after a while with Lester and with Salvador in particular, and with Suhel as well, a sense of rhythm can be developed. And I was very enthused by the way that even as I was able to sit in their worship and listen over the earphones to a gentleman who was translating in English, I didn't realize how edifying that is. I always thought if people sat in the back and someone was whispering in their ear what was going on in Spanish, well, they're only getting a small fraction of what's going on. To the contrary, they had a very gifted man who was telling me what Suhel Micheline was saying and telling me what Salvador Gomez was saying as the service was going on. And I was very enthused by the way I was fully able to engage in what was going on. It was so helpful to be on the other end of the translation process. I'm meeting some other men here. You may know some of these men, Jacqueline. So we went through the conference and I preached on the theme of Manhood and Romance, and then Manhood and Reading. They'd asked me to preach on these themes. And then thirdly, Manhood and Godliness. And the way that these men resonated and came and confessed certain areas of struggle that we all share in common, it was a great bonding experience for us as men here. And then after the conference, we lingered long and talked long with the men, and I was able to go off and spend some time at a mall where we had a little dinner together with Salvador and his family. You've got Burger King here, and you've got Papa John's, as the Dominican is very Americanized. There is a lot of sharing of culture back and forth. Again, here is Johanny. This is Salvador's wife. This is Mama, which is Salvador's mother, who lives with Salvador, 87-year-old woman. And this is Monica. And this is Gabby and the delicious lunch we're able to have. And then I was able to surf with an 87-year-old woman as we had some time together there. And this was an interesting store called Stiletto. And those shoes, by my calculation, costed about $700-$800. And it's interesting how many of the stores in this mall had items that 98%, 99% of the population could never buy. And you just see this gulf, this wide gulf between those who are the haves and would be considered to be the have-nots. So we had the time at this mall, and just driving through, there are these big, this is a gorilla, a big, and they had, because of the storm, they had the gorilla and other animals here. That's about maybe 20 feet tall. They have them all strapped down so they wouldn't be blown away due to the storm. And I was able then to spend the early part of the evening with the Gomez family, but then there was another blackout. And so I went off to the home of Eduardo Saladin and his wife Patricia. And I had a very interesting time with them. And they spoke about how Patricia has had a desire to minister to women. And you know the Nancy Lee DeMoss ministry, Revive Our Hearts? They've desired to get Nancy Lee DeMoss into Spanish. And Patricia has been trying to work through to get them to translate into Spanish. And eventually what happened was they gave Patricia the green light to take the Revive Our Hearts shows, which are, is it five times a week? And they said, take two per week and translate them into Spanish. And they had a pilot hour or two, or half hour or two, that they presented back to the Revive Our Hearts organization. And they said, we think this is good. And so Patricia now, for many months, has been doing twice per week a Revive Our Heart in Spanish. And that is now being sent all throughout the Latin world. There are, I think it's in Honduras that there is a very large station that is able to transmit this all throughout the South America and the Middle America areas. And it's very influential. And also, Nancy Lee DeMoss actually did come to Santo Domingo, and Patricia was the one who was the translator for Nancy Lee DeMoss. And this is an indicator, too, how this church has seen the importance of being able to reach out and make connections with other churches and other ministries, instead of being very insulated as a we're the only ones perspective, but being able to lock arms with other churches and other congregations. So this was a blessed thing to be able to hear. And even comparing notes, Eduardo, who is one of the elders of the church, Eduardo Saladin, was telling me about how the church has matured, and how the church has moved forward. And I told him it was if he had been reading that vision statement that we had made about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, regarding what we desire to do as a church, themes like giving people room to breathe and grow, they have desired to implement some of these very same principles into their congregation. Just a little perspective on what they're able to purchase. And then I was able to, on Sunday morning, go there to the church and spend some time with the congregation. Here is Suhel Michelin. This is the pastor who has the most seniority there. Suhel preaches in the morning. Suhel led the service in the morning. Many dear ladies in the congregation. I will spend time in the pastor's room with Salvador and with Suhel, and the other pastors eventually came in. And then one of the other pastors, the youngest pastor they had, is Pastor Raphael. Fine man, well-read man. And then, you know who this is? This is Eileen, Micheline, who spent a summer with us a number of years ago, eventually married Ethan Merrick in the Grand Rapids Church, and this is her new little baby. So I was able to meet and greet, and she gives warmest greetings to us back here in Holland. And then this is their music presentation. They have a pianist, and then they have people who sing, who try to lead in helping lead the singing so that people can follow along with tunes and they keep up and they're able to follow through with the singing. And here is the congregation. I believe they will have as many as 12 to 1,500 on a given Lord's Day morning. Often when I notice that American time isn't the same as Dominican time. Sometimes they don't always show up exactly on time. That sometimes folks can be a little bit late, and that's a struggle that they have. But eventually the seats were basically full there. Again, as you see the people worshiping, Suhel leading. They threw their hymns up on the screen there. They had the violin and the guitar here as they worshiped. They televise as well. And much like we stream to others, they do the same. Did they actually telecast it? Is it actually on a closed-circuit television? It is live. It is live. Okay. Then after the service, this is Pastor Kevin. Pastor Eric Gomez. Pardon me? And Fanny, his wife. And you spent time with them, right? And Anna spent an extended period of time with them? Can you give us any word about him? And All right. And then this is Zuri Suedo's father. Able to spend time talking with him. A number of other people in the congregation. This is a tall young man. His name is Daniel. Oh, actually, he's Jeremiah. Has a brother, Daniel, almost as tall, and a third brother, Ezekiel. So Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel, three fine young men, very interested in talking and discussing. Another dear lady. Do you know who that is? What's her name? Lulavita. She was delightful to talk to. And then I actually gone home and spent time in the afternoon with Salvador and Yohani. Spent a blessed afternoon together with them. I had preached in the AM on the 1 John 2:15, which was, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then in the evening, I preached on the theme of the crook in the lot, when God gives us bent providences and how the Lord is able to straighten them out. And Salvador was my translator for that time. It's interesting how there were two deaths while I was there. On Saturday morning, there was a death of a dear woman who had been a principal of a school in the area and who had been a member of the church. She was at least 73 years old, and she died. That was on Saturday morning. And then on Sunday morning, also a dear man in the church died. And it was interesting how Sunday evening we actually went to a funeral parlor where the man had died in the morning, and there he was in the funeral parlor in the evening. And to be able to see the different traditions and experiences in the way that Dominican people would comfort and console one another. Another young lady who was a teacher in the school, I believe. Other families here. And there is the front of the church building. Able to meet another family who was there. This is a man named Raul and his wife Alexandra. Raul is an attorney, and his wife is a daughter of a man who owns a powdered milk company called, is it Milex? Is that Milex? And so the Lord has given them real abundance, and they share. They're very gracious. The Lord has given certain men of economic strength in the church who are able to provide much when it comes to the church's ministry, as there are some who don't have that much and others who do, and those who do, the Lord has equipped them and uses them. And there we are with them. I was able to then spend the night, and on Monday able to spend some time moving around in the area. I was able to go out running, and it had been so wet and humid, and I went out running, and when I did my run, I came back into the house and I was just soaking wet. I mean, and Johanny said, "Did you jump in the water?" I was just so soaking wet. It was so humid there after the hurricane. And after cleaning up, this is the gentleman in the church. What is this man's name here? Ricky's a deacon. He's an architect. And he's this mall that we were at, Ricky has been very instrumental in working and putting together the mall and designing things regarding the mall. Again, you can see God has put strategic men into that church. This is another area where I went shopping and I was just stunned with the abundance. People talk about coming to the U.S. and going to grocery stores and being stunned with how many alternatives and choices. Well, there, it was a grocery store that in my mind was in the same league as what we would have at Meijer's or at Walmart. And I was very impressed with the way that there is much available there in the Dominican. And then we were able to go and spend some time at the lakefront and spend time with at a place called Club Hemingway and spend a few hours there out in the sea and to be able to enjoy the ocean a little bit. And I was able to come back, and I was able to and move through some of these very quickly here. Yes, I was able to go and spend some time with Carlos and with Myrna, as Julian had told me that I needed to go see the old city. And so I was able to go and take a tour through the castle that was built by Christopher Columbus and his brother, whose name was Diego. Diego was there, so I was able to see much of the history. I had a man named Junior who he took way too many pictures of me. But, oh, this was a very interesting thing. They would have mass, and this is called the Pharisee's seat, because the priests would stand with their robes, and they would be standing, and it would be a long, long mass. But you notice there, behind there, these are little seats that they could sit on. And the people didn't know for a long time that they weren't really standing, they were sitting. They were slightly bending their knees and sitting. And they looked like they were so erect and so straight, so the people called this the Pharisee seat. The clergy pretending to be holy. And this is basically the Westminster Abbey of the Dominican Republic there in Santo Domingo, where they bury their heroes. And this would be much like the Sistine Chapel painting on the ceiling. It is a painting of the Great Judgment. Very interesting how Christ wasn't present at all at the Great Judgment. There was no mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We took note of this, how it was a very works-oriented depiction of salvation. And another Christopher Columbus, as this is really the first place where civilization landed in the Western Hemisphere here at Santo Domingo. The building is the first city that was established by the Spanish in the Western Hemisphere. I was able then to, actually, after I spent time looking at the city, I was able to meet with the seven elders, seven of the eight elders. One of the elders had just gotten married. His wife had died, it was about a year ago, and he had just gotten remarried. He's a 50-ish-year-old man, and he was off with his bride. Couldn't be at our meeting. But to be able to spend that Tuesday evening with the pastors, talking about their congregation and their church, and describing the things that they'd been through over the years, and their maturation process, and to be able to see how, even though they are in a Latin culture and we're in an American culture, there are so many things that we have been able to learn together and be able to benefit from. And I was greatly enhanced by the iron sharpening iron interaction of these seven elders there in the Dominican. On the way home, I just took a picture of this. I like to go to bookstores and see what people are reading and what's out there. And there are a number of books here that have become really the most popular of books. You see what we have here, a little religious flavor? What do we have there? Love Wins by Rob Bell. And it just struck me how people who are looking for a spiritual read, this is the fare. This is the product that's being available, which I believe is a downright heretical work of Love Wins. So, I was able to return home, and Veronica Gomez, little Gabby, prayed one time. He said, I pray for mummy, for puppy, for Tor. And they, what do you mean Tor? And pastor. So the daughter gave a picture of Tor. And but I would say again, being able to return back home and being able to safe and healthy and no sickness, no illness, not even a slight queasiness in the stomach, the Lord was so gracious and so kind. And just to be able to bind these two churches together, let's pray for this congregation. And any comments you would have, input, questions, thoughts, as we would close. Joe. Yes, could you explain that? Maybe Larry, Jacqueline, regarding the Dominican. So even though there are these beautiful stores, there, and you can tell when you're driving in the streets, you can see the majority of the people who are in the streets, they can't go to those stores.
Say,
say, very oriented store. Appearances.
Yes, appearances. And those people that you don't see, or your people go to this store and they can even more
things. Yes, and also I know even take cell phones. Cell phones are very common possession. Even quite poor people will have cell phones. It doesn't mean they have many minutes to work with, but they will buy small amounts of minutes. And then the cell phone says, well, people can call them, they don't get charged. So there can be an appearance. You can have a cell phone, but maybe you don't have any minutes. But you have a cell phone, and there can be an appearance that you have wealth or strength or so it is a very interesting culture. Now, I would think that there is somewhat of an expansion of the middle class, because like you said, you were surprised at some of the stores that you saw there. So maybe there is an expansion that's going on. Well, let's close with a word of